One more time, why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? Come on, would you lift your voice up to him for just a few moments? We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. What a wonderful presence of the Holy Ghost that we get to feel this morning in his house. And I am thankful to know that he is the same. Amen. And God is so good to us that he gives us another opportunity to be in his presence. How many of you are thankful to know that God's mindful of you? Yes. Amen. God is all sufficient. He's never failing. God knows exactly what he's doing in each and every individual's life, every time, every aspect. And God is no different today. God is moved when we begin to lift our hands and we begin to call on his name, even when everything seems like it's falling apart, that God is still faithful. God's moved by faithfulness of relationship. God is moved with the understanding when we go to him in prayer and not just, if I can just say it like I'm home this morning, not just a patty cake prayer, not just another duty of routine, but a true place of prayer where we are ushered into his presence, where we can lift our hands and we can say, God, I don't have everything under control. God, I don't know what's going on. But God, today I am trusting in you. Amen. And I feel such an urgency and an undertowing of the Holy Ghost in this house this morning, that God is trying to reach someone in this house today. I am going to do my very best to follow what I feel the Holy Ghost has spoken. I give honor to each of our guests that is here with us today, whom you may be. I do want to say to each of our guests, you worship God and you be obedient to God the way you know how. If you feel to clap your hands, if you feel to say amen, if you feel to cry, if you feel to run to this altar at any point of this service, there's nobody in this house that is judging you. Perhaps they will get on board with you and your excitement, guest. It may ignite an excitement in a complacent saint. Well, amen. So I do admonish you to be obedient to the Lord in the way that he tugs on your heart today. Amen. To every saint that you call this home, I hope you respond to God that you know the way you need to respond to God today. I hope you don't leave this house today in a place of hanging of the head and shamefulness to say, I should have responded to God. But I hope that your heart and your mind is made up, where you can honestly say, God, I have come to your house with one intention, and that is to see you move in my life. God, I need you today. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. And to the leadership of this church, Pastor Crosswhite, Sister Crosswhite, I give high honor to your pastor, and I'm thankful for a man with a vision. Amen. I'm thankful for sound voices. Amen. And I'm thankful to know that the truth is still being proclaimed. Amen. And to my pastor, I give honor to in his absence today, that they have good church at home. I feel like the Lord has showed up to deliver someone today. And I am even talking to people that you have made this your home for many of years. but you have remained the same. I feel like the Lord has showed up in a place of challenge today, and a question to go forth. Are you satisfied with where you are right now? Folks, more than anything, I want to go to heaven. And if I ever have to question if I'm satisfied in my relationship to God, and there is a question that arises in my mind, well, I don't know if I'm ready to meet Him or not. Then, my friend, perhaps God's reaching for you right now. Going to the book of Genesis, chapter number 50. Beginning at verse number 15, a very, very familiar portion of Scripture. I feel like we will be dealing with some things today that is uncomfortable to deal with as an evangelist, but if you will allow me space today just to preach to every individual individually today. And that you won't just turn me off and say, well, it's just another service. It's just another duty of going to church. I want people to see me at church so they quit bothering me. My friend, I would not be here today if somebody quit bothering me. My younger sister would not be quiet about me going to church. And so I finally gave in to her pestering. And I went to church and I've never stopped going. It hasn't been easy. It hasn't been a bed of roses. But I'm telling you, it's the best thing I ever done in my life. There's been people in the church that's hurt me. There's been people that's disappointed me. But I've hurt people and I've disappointed people. Well, I know some of y'all never have, but praise God anyhow. Well, hallelujah. Woo, boy, y'all, it feels, I might tell a joke or something, make somebody laugh this morning. I'm so glad Sister Main ain't here, because if I tell a joke, I'll get in so much trouble. Amen. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us. I want everybody in this house right now to pay attention to what I'm about to read. Joseph will peradventure hate us. When there is failure in your life, the worst thing that you could ever do is make up in your mind that the church is going to turn me off and hate me. Joseph will peradventure hate us. When I already have my mind made up about what the church is going to think about me, I am missing a grand opportunity for God to move in my life, because I am fearful about what you're going to think about me. And will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of God. Of thy father. Watch, y'all ready? Y'all ready for this? Joseph wept when they spake unto him. You better learn to forgive things. Even if they hurt you. Oh, Jesus, here we go. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God. Oh, somebody better get it in their spirit right now. But God. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost right now. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly to them. You may be seated for a few moments. March 15th, 1990. In the Bering Sea off the Alaskan coast, there was a commercial fisherman. The boat would be dubbed as the Alaskan Monarch. That evening, a storm would blow in that would retain the record of one of the worst storms that had been recorded in the Bering Sea. Waves recorded with swell some 15 to 25 foot at times, causing fatal environments where nothing was safe, only fear to grow in the mind of man, and perhaps the last opportunity to make wrongs right. They would quickly begin to radio for help as the Alaskan Monarch would become tossed to and fro in the frightful weather. Coast Guard had never been involved nor seen treacherous conditions as such, to where soon the radio for help would come and the answer would be of the Mayday. There would be a helicopter of skilled rescue men of the Coast Guard to stand faithful that day on the knowledge of what they knew to do to rescue life, and life to be dear by the second, and knowing that as time progressed that treacherous evening, to know that seconds would make the difference and faulty mistake would be the difference between life and death. And now, between life and death, there was the unskilled rescue of how do we rescue somebody from a place of danger that is so great we have never seen nor been in a situation like this. The helicopter would hover above them and four deckhands would be awaiting that moment of a rescue where seconds seemed like weeks, and now as they would be picked one by one as the sea would swell and the basket would drop, they would begin to rescue them and life would be given another chance. How beautiful the story of the rescue is, but there is another side to the story this morning where the four were rescued, but now Mr. Chuck West, oh, he's the captain. He is the responsible party, and he would try his best to hold everything together as though the father of a family would try his best in the time of chaos to create peace. Mr. Chuck West was now the lone man on the boat. The audio recording would send chills up your spine to listen to the four men that was rescued. To say the most difficult part of being on the deck waiting to be rescued was the unknown elements about what was coming onto the boat, because we had no control over our situation. All we could do is get through the moment. But if I can't get through the moment, then I will die where I am right now. I hope somebody's listening to me for a moment. I know I'm taking a little time and going a little slow. As Mr. Chuck West had the opportunity to be rescued, The sea would swell, the basket came down. But at the same moment, there was a treacherous wave that swept over the boat, and Mr. Chuck West was washed into the icy Bering Sea that night. Mr. Chuck West now would be given the ultimatum between life and death. As the recording would go, the men watching Mr. Chuck West fight for his life. How many times do we set aside and watch people fight for their life, and we don't do a thing about it? They were helpless. They were in the helicopter. They were safe. But their brother, their leader, their friend was dying while they was watching him fight with everything he had. Mr. Chuck West in the recording could be seen to have a large piece of ice over him, weighing him down and everything, as you could see him flailing about, fighting the icy water, trying to get the large chunk of ice off of him. As he would bob up and down like a cork in the water, taking a breath of air, just wanting one more opportunity. There was another wave that Mr. Chuck West seen. And in the middle of the audio recording, you hear a broken old man's voice. "Come on." And they said, "Mr. West, can you record the moment that changed everything?" He said, "Yes." He said, "The wave that I thought was going to kill me was the wave that saved my life. I've come this morning in desperation to reach somebody that you feel like God's done with you. I've come this morning with a desperation in my heart and in my spirit to be obedient to the urgency that I feel right now. I feel as though somebody in this house that you are facing the same exact thing in your life. Things were going so well. Without warning, a wave of tribulation would knock you off of your firm footing into the state of confusion where you didn't even know how you got to the place where you are right now. It swept you into the place where all you can see is another wave of problems. All you can see is another wave of tribulation, family issues, failures that was never dealt with, wounds that was never healed, and things that was never given a space to get right. So you have swept it under the rug and you have dealt with it for years and years and years. And now you are met face to face in a mirror, beholding yourself to become something you never intended to be. It's everything you can do right now to lift your head and to say, "God, I need you again." But instead of the rescue that you so gravely desire, you want to coddle the things that you said, "I will never relate to this. I will never be like this." And instead you begin to distance yourself from everything to do with God. Because all you can see is the elements of destruction. And you can't understand that God is sending you a lifeline right now. Because all that we want to, entertain is the understanding that I am not good enough for God to touch. I am too far gone for God to reach. And the sin that is in my life and the complacency that is in my life, nobody can understand it. been this way, Brother Main, for a long time. You don't understand what happened. You don't understand what they said about me. You don't understand how bad my family hurt me. You know what? I'm not going to pretend this morning like I do know what's happened. But I can stand, and I can stand firm, and I can read what the word says, that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. You got to get your mind right. You got to fall back in love with God. If you don't fall back in love with God, my friend, then yes, those things that have haunted you will become your demise. But Brother Main, they hurt me. Brother Main, they talked. Brother Main, they found out what I was entertaining when I was supposed to look the part. 2 Timothy 4:18 is a lifeline for Tim Main. It's a lifeline for everybody right now. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Why? It's the age-old question, if I can play on word this morning. Why does good things happen to bad people and bad things seem like it's the anthem for good people trying their best, but you can take bad people and it seems like they got the world. Why, Brother Main, does good things happen to bad and bad happens to good? My friend, I can only reverence the Word of God to say that all things work together for the good to them that love Him. The last portion of that scripture is the most important to them that love Him. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you like to eat cake? We got 3 people out of like 120 that like cake. Well, Jesus, it's no secret. I like cake. I enjoy cake. You know, Molly can bake a cake. She can make a good one, Elder. She can mix the ingredients up correctly. She can stick it in the oven, and in a short while, it'll come out that pretty golden brown. But you know, if she forgets one part, it can still look right. When you cut into the internal part to expose that good fluffy cake, be destruction inside, because she forgot perhaps the egg, something so small to make such a large difference. I know bad things are happening to people in the church right now. And the devil means it to be your destruction. That's not the will of God.
Amen. Amen.
There's things that's happening to people in the church that they ought not be going through. To question, why can I be surrounded by the church but yet still feel incredibly lonely? Why? Why do I have to go through the mental anguish of not even feeling like I belong anywhere anymore? Because every time that I go, I just feel like people are condemning me, or people are looking at me, or I am being pinpointed by the preacher, or I can sit in my place and I can feel that overwhelming weight of the world. And as long as I can get through the service unmoved, unscathed, not pointed out, not used as a reference, and I got one more chance, I'll be okay. But Isaac, it's a fearful thing when we come to church and we feel God tugging on us, but our life don't represent anything to do with God. I want to look the part, but oh, Brother Maine, don't you even entertain pulling up the turmoil that's going on. Isaac, if we never develop a place of prayer, my friend, the ultimate will happen where there's a tug of war of a lifetime going on, and oh, the dog that you feed the most is going to be the dog that becomes the strongest. And Isaac, you begin to run from God as fast as you can, because whenever bad things are happening, you look at the church like it's nothing except like it's a legalistic place where let me put my thumb on you a little bit. Let me hold you down a little bit. Let me tell you what you can and cannot do. And as long as you can and cannot do something, then you are given the right to say, well, they told me that I couldn't do it. But I don't find that in the Bible. And so let me put my thumb on you, Brother Thomas, and let me hold you down, and let me explain how good things can happen to bad people. It's because it rains on the just and the unjust, my friend. Oh, it's like the dew that's on the grass in the morning. It's going to be there. And we better be thankful when God is starting to bless people. That is not right. We better start thanking God whenever God is still showing a span of mercy to people that have not got their life together. Because it tells me one thing, sis, that if God is still blessing people, that's not right. God is still showing Tim Maine a span of mercy. And as long as God is showing Tim Maine that span of mercy, my friend, you better rejoice over the things you can't control. You better rejoice over the things that you know God is showing you help for. Because as soon as I begin to relinquish myself to God, I promise you, it's not just a bed of roses. I promise you, my friend, if I want to give Molly a dozen roses, somebody has to endure the thorns. There's beauty to be held. But where are you at right now in your relationship with God? Are you being tossed to and fro because you don't understand everything that God's trying to do? Just at that very moment, sis, things going on in life, it seems like it becomes too much to handle. Oh, Brother Maine, if I start telling you things that I'm going through, it'll blow your mind. The doors of the church instantly get dark. No, my friend. Don't get to that place where you feel alienated away from the mercy of God. Because that's the greatest danger in life, is whenever you start saying, God can't touch me no more. I've went too far for God to heal. I've went too far for God to break up that fallow ground where seed no longer grows. And as long as there's still an opportunity of span of repentance, but we'll set aside and we'll say, oh, that's just for the church. Oh, that's just for people that understand that God loves them. No, my friend. That is for, brother, I need it every day. What's your name? Lloyd, Tim. Man, it's nice to meet you. And so I got to have that mercy every day, sis. Because I've made up my mind as a young man that I'm not God. And as long as my life is questionable in areas, I better understand that I got to have God every day. It's the renewing day by day. And if we're not doing it, young folks, if we're not living for God every day, I promise you there will be a place of turmoil. There will be the place where your firm footing is loosed, Mr. Chuck West. I wonder, as I walk around this morning and I feel God talking to me about individuals, what have you allowed to weigh you down so great? that even right now people in their mind are making up, I'm ready to leave this service, I'm ready to go eat, I'm ready to entertain other things that'll make me feel good for a moment, rather than saying, God, oh God, you're talking through a young man to try to save me. I'm sick of going to churches all across the United States, Pastor Cross White. In this place I'm standing right now, it has become nothing except a place of judgment. It was intended to be a place of the memorial of sacrifice. Because mama and daddy, you hear a young man right now. Look beyond my age, please, and hear the heart of a young man. Mama and daddy, it ain't the will of God for the children to hear how bad things are. We got marriages struggling. We got households that are broken. But we'll never give a place to God. You don't know how bad it is. Oh, Brother Jeff. Oh, you don't know how bad it is. I've tried this God thing, but I won't go to the altar because the church is just full of judgmental people. What if Mr. Chuck West, Brother Cross White, would have looked at that basket and started judging his place of rescue? And he said, I don't like the color of the basket. I don't like their method of rescue. So I'm just going to lie here and die. Lift your hands for a moment, please. Woo! Come on, lift your voice for a moment. God, how do I get back? God, how do I find you again? It's the tragic place of a mind that's made up that God don't care. I'll ask, I don't know if anybody will be transparent or jee-haw with me for a minute. I'm shameful to admit it, but I will. There's been times where we preach all over the United States and I go back and I get in that little 8x30 box and I feel like a failure. I feel like I didn't do enough. Get to, maybe I'm being too transparent, but it's okay. I'm going to talk about it. I go back to that travel trailer and I lay my head down on the pillow at night and there's that stirring and them voices to deal with. Oh, you couldn't reach them. You preach all over the world. You preach internationally, but your mom and daddy backslid. You can save everybody else, but you can't even save your own family. Agony of the mind begins to strike, but if I allow myself to stay there, then that's what I'm going to become, is that product of failure and that product of uselessness. And then what God's already been good in the past, I allow myself just to dwell on the past blessings and I never look forward. I never get beyond the failure. I never get beyond the hardship. And so I stay there and then it makes me question, God, did you really even call me? Woo, this is too raw for some of y'all. But I'm reaching for somebody that you're questioning a lot right now. Brother Maine, you got life together. No, I don't. Brother Maine, I wish I could preach all over the place. And Brother Maine, I wish I had the things you had. Oh my God, what about the struggles? What about that mental anguish where I look in the mirror at times and I reflect back on that night before I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. You could probably never know it 18 years now. Oh, but that night I'll never forget is sitting in a dope house snorting cocaine and being in a home that's full of people, drug ridden, life has fallen apart. Isaac, I want you to hear what I'm about to say, buddy. I love you and I believe in you, but you've got to start believing in Isaac again. You hear me? Tim Maine sitting in a dope house. And I'm sitting there high as a kite. Brother Crosswhite, if this is too transparent and raw, I'm sorry. Sitting in that dope house. I'm sitting there. There's tons of people around me, and I'm sitting on a couch. And it almost goes deafening quiet. The next thing I hear is that goofy little Sunday school song that Sister Debbie would teach me as a little boy. Jesus loves me. This I know. For Bible tells me so. Tears start streaming down my face. I didn't care what anybody thought. Folks, I'm high as a kite. Little empty home. I show back up at my daddy's house. My dad and my younger sister at this point are going back to church where we were raised. My younger sister, she would not be quiet about me going to church. She knew my life. I was either, my parents told me, my siblings told me, my friends told me, Tim, you'll either be dead or in prison by 21. I was 17 years old and everybody done wrote me off. I show it back to my dad's house, and there's my little sister, y'all. I done tuned her off. I'm ready to go to bed, mind blown. She says, Timmy, she said, we're in revival at church. You should go with me. I have no idea in the world why I answered her like I did, but this is how I answered her. I said, I ain't got nothing to wear to church. She said, it's okay, just wear whatever. It's all right, Tim. He said, nobody's going to judge you. I said, lay my clothes out and wake me up in the morning. I'll go to church with y'all. Got up that morning and we didn't have no money. Well, now you got to have money to shop at Goodwill. They're expensive now, y'all. Jesus. Didn't know it. My dad and my younger sister went to Goodwill just a few days before that and bought me these khaki pants. And y'all, I looked a mess. Looking back, I probably look a mess right now. Molly ain't here to help me. And all the men say, amen. No, I'm joking. But, man, I had these khaki pants that, my God, three people could have fit in. I was a little thing then. When I get nervous, I swell. So brother, them khaki pants, I'm telling you, y'all remember parachute pants? Y'all, this was like, I seen this on the radio, so y'all don't judge me, okay? Them MC Hammer, like windbreakers. That's what they were. They were huge. And then I had like a powder baby blue dress shirt that I could have stole everybody's purse in that place in the sleeves. I mean, I looked a wreck. I really did. I looked as bad as my life was, y'all. I go to church that morning. These are people that I was raised with. These are people that knew how far I have failed. And walk through the back door. What's your name, sir? Yeah. Thomas. Awesome. So it was my dad, my middle sister, and my baby sister, and then it was me sitting about right here where we are right now. And I was sitting there, the four seat in, across the sanctuary. I don't know why I did it, but I made eye contact with Sister Debbie. Y'all, I can't tell you what he was preaching. I can't tell you what it was about. When I looked over at Sister Debbie, that little goofy Sunday school song that meant nothing instantly became a lifeline. I looked over there at her, started playing in my head again. And I'm sitting there. And I start crying, and for the first time in my life, I felt like I belonged. Even though everybody around me knew how far I failed. And buddy, Cassie, that's her name, my little sister, she looked at me and she said, Timmy, she said, you want to go to the altar? I said, let's go. It's in the middle of him preaching. I didn't know better. I really didn't even care, Tommy. I stood up, and I didn't go this way to get out. I went that way to get out. I didn't care about nobody, y'all. But this is the reality of it. When I stood up, everybody turned and looked at me like I was fixing to try to rob everybody there. I literally seen ladies grab their pocketbooks or their purses, and they started pulling them close to you. Because I'd steal from you, I didn't care. Whatever it took to get another fix. And Lloyd, I literally heard people going, oh. I started making my way to that altar. I got about right here. There's 24 pews up to the front. Got about right here to the second one. And I'll never forget, I'm listening to that little goofy song in my mind, and I said it just as loud as I'm talking right now. I said, God, I said, if this is for me, I said, I want you to forgive me. I said, God, I want you to deliver me. I didn't even make it to the altar. I was crying. I lifted my hands and I said, God, baptize me in the Holy Ghost. I started talking in tongues. I'm telling you right now, when you get beyond that place of failure, when you get beyond that place of feeling like God's done, that's where God can begin to heal. That's when God can reach out. And that's when God can literally get a hold of your heart and say, that heart belongs to me. You've been in control long enough, so let me show you what I can do if you turn loose of control, and let me try to help you for a little while. I know this is really transparent this morning. And some of y'all might disqualify me from preaching because I was a dope head. Let me tell you what God can do when I give him a little. He can do a lot. Because I didn't get right overnight. But God, I never fiend for another drug from that point on. There was things where I was dealing drugs. There was people that I was fooling around with that you don't just walk away from. I was in possession of 100 pounds of pot at one point. Y'all gonna look this up. My granddad was one of the biggest drug dealers in Western Kentucky. His name was Billy Klein. I was in possession in my car of 98 pounds of marijuana. If I got pulled over, I was facing federal time of up to 80 years. Let me show you how the mercy of God works. Y'all ready? Can y'all just hang out with me for a little while and let the ropes burn for a minute? So being in possession of them things, you don't just cut relationships. You see too much. You know too much. But oh, let me tell you something this morning. Let me give somebody a little hope. Some of the people that I ran with seen God do such a change in my life, they came and got the Holy Ghost. Because when God does it right, woo, God have mercy. I wish somebody was, hey. Because when God does it, when God does it, you say, my God, well, how in the world can God do it? That's where you say, I'm not God anymore. Amen. But God, I want you to change me.
Praise God.
The greatest preachers, the greatest evangelists, the greatest pastors, the most anointed teachers, missionaries, said under the sound of my voice right now, but I wonder if you're just going to let potential stay potential. The greatest deposits on earth are in graveyards of things that was never done or met. Because we can have the greatest potential and never act upon it because of the fear of what other people are going to say about me. I've come this morning to deal with the spirit of fear.
Yes, yes.
That God's no longer able to do it. Let me tell y'all something. God forbid it happen, young folks. You hear Brother Maine right now. If you're playing on your telephone, if you're chewing bubble gum so loud you can't hear me, listen for a minute. Failure does not have to be final. Don't have to be final. Adults, you hear me? Failure don't have to be the ultimatum. That don't have to be the point where you feel like God writes you off for some weird reason. No. We was talking about it the other day. You a dope head too. Look what Jesus can do.
That's with fear.
Woo.
Fear.
But our life becomes what God allows us to do. I'm closing, sis, if you want to help me for a minute. Come on, everybody. Would you lift your hands for a moment, please? Come on. Hallelujah. So that thing that's working against you can be your salvation. Would you stand with me if you're bodily able for a moment? I'm going to ask that every eye in this building be closed, and I'm not looking at you either. If you're standing so close to somebody, if you raise your hand in a moment, would you move over for just a second? This has to be personal. Jacob's dead. The boys have no protector now. Joseph forgave him many, many years ago. But in the the mind of his brothers, they would say, well, he just forgave us for dad's sake. Joseph's been showing us mercy just to honor dad. Now dad's dead, Joseph will hate us. He's going to have us all killed. They came that day. For the first time in many years, the little boy that was sold in slavery now became royalty. They sold him as a little boy, and now he's a man. Things happened to Joseph that was never his fault, but he assumed the responsibility. I believe as his brothers would walk in that day, somebody hear me. Had a lot of time to think about it. What you did was wrong. What you done was evil. It hurt me. It destroyed me. I didn't understand it at the time. But I can look back and I can reflect on the question, if I had not been through what I've been through, would we be here now? I wouldn't have wound up in slavery. I wouldn't have wound up at Potiphar's house. Not Potiphar's house, I wouldn't have been falsely accused. And if never accused, I wouldn't never wound up in prison. And had it not been for prison, I would have never met the butler. Have I never met the butler, I would have never had the opportunity to meet the king. I would have never met the king. I would have never been able to decipher the dream. And if I would have never interpreted the dream, our lives would be spent. What you meant for evil, God meant it for good. And Joseph wept. I hope every eye in this building is closed right now. I'm sorry if there has been church hurt. I mean that. I am sorry if you've been hurt by the church. I'm sorry if you have been hurt by ministry or people in the church. But don't you let that be an excuse to miss heaven. I wonder, my eyes are closed as well. I wonder in silence, if that's you right now, if you've been struggling, would you lift your hand silently? Nobody needs to know. There's people in this house that this week you've went through things mentally and emotionally where you don't even feel like you're worthy to talk to Jesus. Backslider, you hear me right now. God's throwing you a lifeline. There's an urgency in the Holy Ghost. What if this is your last service, friend? Nobody in this house is judging you. As a body, I wonder right now, why don't we make our calling and election sure? If it's been a while since you've been in the altar, why don't you come, friend? Please. I can't make the decision for you, but I am pleading with you today, begging. Come on, forget everybody else. But when you come to this altar, don't let it be just a place of begging. Let it be a place of real soul searching. God, I need you. Come on, friend, would you come, please? Please. Please move. Please move. Come on. Nobody is judging you. Nobody is looking at you. Come on. We're a family. We want the best for everybody. Come on, friend. Ma'am, would you come? Ma'am, would you come, please? Sir, if your baby's in these altars, Mama and Daddy, and you haven't moved, why don't you come and put your arm around them? Come on, Mama, why don't you come and put your arm around this daughter? Come on, Daddy, why don't you come and put your arm around this boy? I love you. I don't understand it all, but God, you're working it for good. Come on, sir. Don't be intimidated. Don't be bashful. God, I need you right now. Come on, don't just come and stand. Lift your hands and love on Jesus. I gotta have you again, God. Come on, this Sunday morning, it can change your life.
name.